Thanks for joining us for Help at Home's Meaningful Moments podcast series. I'm Barry Bernson. Help at Home has a core philosophy of better outcomes through quality home care and innovative approaches. That makes the company an ideal value-based care partner for managed care organizations and payers. Today, we're joined by David Adams, Senior Vice President of Payer Contracting and Relations, to talk about the ways in-home personal care creates value for partners, payers, and clients. And David, welcome to you.
Yep. Barry, thank you for having me. I am very excited to be here and to be talking to you today.
All right. Let's set the stage. Why is there a growing emphasis on value-based care in not only healthcare, but home care? What need does this focus address?
Yeah. So let me give you a little context, Barry, from kind of my background, and I'll build towards an answer here. So, I've been in healthcare now 20 plus years, and that's as much math as I care to do. I've seen everything from the pharmacy world to the managed care, big payer world, a lot of depth in specialty benefits management, and my second time running managed care for a provider organization. So I've seen value-based care evolve throughout many stages of my career. I think what I'd say first and foremost, and for folks listening, on kind of just the definitional start here, the whole idea of value-based care is to take our healthcare system, which has always fundamentally been fee-for-service, which very simply means, you know, you do something, you get paid for it. The more you do, the more complex it is, the more you get paid. Historically, that can create what's called some perverse incentives, for lack of a better description, on overutilization and some other things. So the idea of value-based care comes at this problem from a couple of fronts. It's not only something that's being used to emphasize better quality care, patient outcomes, patient satisfaction, but something that really attempts to bring costs down in a way that's meaningful and link the actual delivery of care to the production of an outcome. So while it's my belief from what I've seen over so many years that our system will always have some fundamental elements of fee-for-service in it, there are ways to link that to different performance metrics, to sharing and savings. There's all sorts of different models out there from pay-for-performance, pay-for-quality, shared savings, risk transfer, and other things that get at the heart of this value-based care question, which again is just simply, how do we get beyond just paying for more things and really link outcomes on multiple fronts together into something that's going to be more meaningful for the folks we're trying to take care of and produce better economic and clinical outcomes from our system? Now I'll bridge from that to home care specifically, and I know we're going to talk a lot about home care in the industry, so I won't get too far ahead here. But one of the things you will hear me say throughout our conversation today that Help at Home is very focused on, and it's a very, very powerful message, is this idea of connecting home care to healthcare. So, and we'll get more deeply into some of this. Think about us as being in the home, providing services to a client, spending a considerable amount of time with them that right now is basically partitioned from everything else that happens in our healthcare delivery system. And there's ways that we can link those things together in these quote unquote value-based care models that will really do a lot to improve these folks' lives and improve our delivery system overall. So let me give you that as a starting answer, Barry, and I think we can build from there.
All right. Most adults over 50 want to remain in their homes as they age. So what are the specific services, thinking about value-based care, that clients receive in home care?
Yeah. So one thing that's probably useful for folks to hear, because since I've joined Help at Home, one of the first objectives I had was starting to form relationships with our big payers, particularly managed care organizations, and frankly, explaining to them who we are and what we do. So I'll make one critical distinction here. A lot of folks hear home care and they think home health. And I just say to use these definitions, we could probably flex around them a little bit. But think of home health as really a clinical service where a nurse, a physical therapist, occupational therapist, whatever, comes into the home and delivers and basically is delivering care. We do a little bit of that at Help at Home, but that is very much not our focus. Our focus is what we call home care, where we basically have a, we call them a caregiver, and we don't love this term, but essentially an unskilled or by unskilled, a non-clinical worker who is coming into the home and basically helping the client, as we call them, with activities of daily living. Personal care services is the standard definition that we use for what we do. Sometimes you hear it as homemaker services. It can be cooking, cleaning, companionship, helping folks bathe, helping folks get exercise, helping folks get to doctor's appointments, all of that good stuff that kind of falls within the scope of what we do as a home care company. And this is so critically important as to back to your kind of starting comment. Folks want to remain in the home. And they don't want to go to a nursing facility. Obviously, folks don't want to end up in the hospital or a post-acute and care environment like skilled nursing or something like that. We are really creating a bridge and a meaningful way to get there and to do just that.
And it sounds like you are really professionalizing the role of the caregiver to retain top talent, which is crucial in such a competitive job market these days. Many industries are experiencing that. Why is retaining top talent specifically important for the quality of care?
Yeah, it's incredibly important. And one thing I can say again, after my about 2 years with the company that I couldn't be more proud of, is to see the way this company hires the best caregivers and the way we ultimately take care of them. So think about our industry this way. We're having a caregiver come in, create a relationship with a client where they are, I mean, almost in many instances, really becoming like family. And I'd love to share some of these videos at some point. We have seen so many just compelling stories about the relationships that our caregivers ultimately have with our clients, the things they've done for them over the holidays, the ways they've gone above and beyond. It's just amazing. So our goal on the talent acquisition front for caregivers is really to get the absolute best. And one metric you'll hear us talk about that, again, we're very proud of, I think our retention rate is at least 3 times higher than the industry average. And our caregivers and our clients have an average relationship of over 4 years, where we have caregivers spending over 20 hours a week, usually sometimes more, in the client's home. And some of these relationships go as long as 10 or 12 years, frankly, often just limited by the longevity of the client themselves, because many of them are older folks and also Medicare eligible, and some of those things as well. So our goal, hire the best caregivers, help them create the right relationship with their clients. And we can talk a little bit more about this when we talk about Help at Home as a company and our goals. But really, from the work that I do, our operations team does, others do, is to create an environment and basically operating platforms and technology that make this as easy on the caregivers as possible, where they are spending their time with their clients, doing the things that they are so very good at, taking care of these folks and not dealing with schedules and payroll and all the other administrative mess that's coming. We are really building out a nice platform that lets us leverage some of those things. And again, frees up these highest quality caregivers to go out there and just spend time with their clients, doing the right thing and helping these folks.
And I guess that's how the caregivers provide personal care services, as an extra set of eyes and ears to identify when a client might need more support. So I guess what you're saying is the home is like a gateway to preventive health, right?
It very much is. And I tell you, I've even seen this personally with some family members over the last decade or so. But the home has really changed to be, I'd say, a center of care now. As much as you know, going into a hospital or to a doctor's office, there are so many new emerging programs and ways to do more in the home. You're seeing things like skilled nursing facility, SNF at home, hospital at home, more delivery of home health care, other things. And Barry, back to one of the points you made earlier, folks want to be in the home. And so that's really our goal here, is to have these folks in the home. And to your point about eyes and ears, back to the point about connecting home care to healthcare, the amount of time that our caregivers spend with our clients and the things that they learn about their clinical needs, their social determinant of health needs, family needs, all sorts of different support that ultimately are some of the biggest drivers of healthcare outcomes and healthcare costs is really phenomenal. So think about home now as almost being a a setting of care, if you will, versus something that's viewed entirely sort of outside of the healthcare system. We're really moving in that direction, and companies like ours are, again, part of the bridge that we're building to get there.
So, David, what is the specific value of home care from Help at Home for partners and payers?
Yeah, I'd say it's a couple of different things, Barry. One thing I'd start with is really our market size and our presence. Our ability to see more clients and more health plan members and do more is really important. We operate in a very fragmented environment where there may even be thousands of providers, and we're in some markets where we may have 10 to 20% market share. So that gives us a lot that we can do. One partner we can work with, those things are very valuable to payers coming from that world. You're looking for kind of the sizable organizations with scale and capability that can do more versus someone that would only see a small fragmented percentage of your population. The other thing I'd say too is on the value-based care front, really what we're looking for is we're looking for ways to make the pie bigger for everyone and find win-wins. These might be through shared savings programs, maybe eventually even through some risk transfer, some pay for performance, and some other things. But what I would say is generally, while reimbursement can be challenging, especially in some states for what we're trying to do, for us, when we find value-based care programs that have a meaningful outcome and produce a good ROI for our payers and do the same for us, we really use that money to reinvest in the company, not only our operational capabilities, but all sorts of things that we do for our caregivers, from career pathing to more training and other things. So I'd say part of our value prop is that we are an open and active partner, and we're looking for ways to create win-wins and be creative. And again, just make the pie bigger for everybody. And it's not just about kind of core reimbursement.
All right. More to come from David Adams, Senior Vice President of Payer Contracting and Relations. Still to come, more about Help at Home's approach to value-based care in future podcasts, or you can always visit www.helpathome.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Barry Burnson.